Intervju Radija Študent. Tokrat smo se pred nocojšnjim koncertom v seriji Kino zvočenja pogovarjali s francoskim dvojcem Radio Mental. Beseda je tekla o zadju njunega konceptualnega zvočnega kolažiranja, izvrstnem albumu, ki sta ga izdala pri cenjeni založbi Sub Rosa in reinterpretaciji filma oziroma zvočnega zapisa za kultni film Kojanis Kvaci, s katero se danes ob 23. uri in 30 minut predstavita v Kinodvoru.
Well, my name is Jean-Yves Leloup, one of the founder of the DJ and sound artist duo Radio Mental, Mental Radio in English.
Yeah, my name is Eric Pajot and I'm a member and founder of Radio Mental since 1992.
So this is your first time here in Ljubljana, probably?
Yes.
Yes, that's the first time, yes.
When did you arrive? Was it today? Or
yes, we arrived.
This morning, so you didn't have time to see the city yet and stuff. So maybe you said you're both sound artists, DJs, radio presenters.
We are doing many different stuff all the time. So we have these days we have a lot of work in, would say, sound art or radio art, using everyday sounds, voices, stories, narrations, sometimes natural field recordings to kind of make sound art pieces or tell stories with sound. So that's a big part of our work these days. And we do a lot of performances with cinema. It can be like classical silent movies from the beginning of the 19th century. It can be like modern talking movies that we remix. It can be experimental movies. So we have these days we have two branches of work, more like sound art and radio art, and the other one with performing with cinema.
And what about DJing? Do you still DJ as well, or?
Yeah, we still playing as DJ, but not so much on the.
So would you say you're closer to? I mean, I don't know much experimental French music. I only know Bernard Parmigiani,
yes,
who's one of my favorites, and also Pierre Bastien, maybe.
Yeah.
Do you feel closer to these musicians, or maybe to, you know, pop or club music?
No, we come from the techno scene at the early 90s, but. Yes, of course, we are interested about all these people who work with sounds, and we work the sounds from natures, for example, or natural sounds. We do a lot of things with natural sounds.
Right.
We record it sometimes, but we use it from other people also, and that's perhaps the most the particular the difference. Because we don't record it all our sounds.
Well, in fact, we have a very diverse influences, or I would say heritage. So there's the whole part of the electronic music and ambient music from the 90s and DJ music, the way we cut and paste sounds, and the all what we call in France electronica, or this experimental post techno scene, but of course all the music concrète and electroacoustic music from France was very important. And also we have a big link with cinema and like maybe movie directors working with sound, like David Lynch or maybe Jacques Tati or other movie directors. So we have during all these years since 1992 we really try to obtain to have our own sound coming from these very different origins, in fact. And so that's why our work is it's quite unique, and there's a part of cinema, there's a part of sound art, and a part of this electronic dynamic from the 90s, from the rave era and all the explosion of techno in the 90s.
Yeah, we can find interest in very experimental stuff as like very popular music from the beginning,
right.
And also with the cinema, sounds from the cinema.
Because there seems to be quite a big gap between the more academic side of music and the pop side of music. Do you think this gap is closing now? Because you sort of fit in between these two, maybe.
Yes, but I'm not sure that there is so many people who do it like us.
Like
and
you.
I think people stay in school or in a way. For us, it's just sounds and music, and there is no frontiers between all these sounds and all these musics. It's just music.
It's music. Yes.
Yeah.
So was this from the beginning this way, from the 90s, or were you maybe more club music oriented at first and then discovered this interest in the more experimental?
No, since the beginning we have this point of view and this way of working, and we use all kind of sounds. Even in our early show on the radio, we mixed up all kind of sounds. Very popular sounds, very strange sounds, very very experimental music from movies,
easy listening,
all
rock,
kind of stuff,
Christmas
kind of
songs,
stuff.
Whatever. We have a story to tell, and
a lot of voices took from the movies a lot.
This was quite visible in this album. I could never make this music again, which you used. Interviews for, but maybe we will talk about the album later. I'm just interested, this album is, maybe it could be classified as sort of ambient music. Especially in ambient music?
Well, we have,
you say, you use field recordings.
We have strong roots in atmospheric and ambient music, of course, so we have always have this kind of ephemeral feeling in the music, but it's more coming from kind of radio art, as we would say. And
so this is more from the pioneers of this music in Crete, Gerd Schäfer, maybe, he was doing stuff on radio as well.
Yeah, of course, all these French people who invented the experimental concrete music, they come from radio, and that's very important for them, and it's also very important for us. So it's not always a direct influence, but
it's an inspiration.
Yeah, it's an kind of
one of our inspirations.
And the other one is more cinema, because cinema with voice off, and or with the voice of the comedians who can tell stories, and we have a much more narrative way of making music than people from experimental music, for example, which are these people from experimental music are a bit more abstract sometimes. They work more on the shape, on the texture of sounds. Even if we do this, we have for us it's very important to the emotion in the voice, what is told in the voice, what is the story, what is the story told by the people we've been interviewing, for example. That's very important. And in music concrete and the more experimental music, they tend to avoid this kind of they would say it's kind of pathos, or maybe all this kind of very sensitive and very emotional way of listening to voices and sounds. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are less in mathematical way of music than poetic way of sounds. I think this is the big difference between us and people who come from this kind of scene. For us, it's just really the power of the poetry with the sounds, and especially with the voices, of course.
Mm-hmm. And there's a great guy from France who's closer to us, it's Luc Ferrari. He was really working in and he was kind of fired from the laboratory of Pierre Schaeffer, because he was using this kind of he was trying to escape from this formalism, this kind of aesthetics. He wanted to go back in the streets and to record the people and to make kind of a sound documents, or also sound reportage, sound reports. So maybe we could feel closer to him than to maybe
Pierre Schaeffer
or Bernard Ramejani, even if it's very interesting.
Do you think that contemporary electronic music took the right turn from these early experiments in electronic music?
I don't know. I think
cycle.
Comedy. Tournant en rond. It's, you know, uh-huh. It doesn't go. There is nothing really new in for about this scene.
What is it that you look in music?
Well, emotions, mm-hmm. memory, and feelings. When we can feel that there's something happening behind the sounds, like there's a scene, you can look like you can feel the space and the people and the emotions. So when we record a voice, or it can be the rain in the street, or it can be a piece of popular music we cut and passed. Mm-hmm. And you have to feel that there's like life behind it. Mm-hmm. That's most important for us, and that's the best way for us to kind of tell stories and also to immerse the listener into the sound and into the soundscape.
Maybe if we say a few things on this album that came out on Sub Rosa.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the basic idea behind it?
The basic idea was to, first as a journalist, I have interviewed like hundreds of people since the beginning of the 90s. Mm-hmm.
So all the interviews, I mean all the voices are taken from your interviews?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Me and another guy, Jean-Philippe Renaud, the mm-hmm. one of the... We are three guys who made the album, so mm-hmm. he made a few interviews as journalist, and we have always been very interested into voice and dialogues. And when you make an interview like during 30 or 40 minutes, you have like very classical answers and, about a new album or mm-hmm. stuff like that. But sometimes during a few minutes, there's a real nice moment.
When it gets more personal.
Yeah, it gets more personal, or sometimes it's also very interesting about the way people perceive music or sound or technology. So the idea was to try to kind of not make music, but to make a kind of a soundtrack with all these people talking together, in fact, even if they never really met together. But the basis was really what we were interested in since the beginning with Radio Mental. It's the
emotional, again, it's all about the emotions, in fact.
Mm-hmm. And the voice. And the
stories the telling about from these people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For example, you have the Aphex Twins talking about this, the way he was trying to dream about mm-hmm. music. That's a very nice thing. And you have this guy called Gerald, one of the pioneer of house music. Is kind of in a very difficult. He's not really so good at talking, but he was trying to express something about like sound and cosmos. So it was quite an emotional thing. And or Square Pusher talking about his parents. Or sometimes you have people also saying, I could never make that music again, which is a sentence from Derek May, techno pioneer. So, and sometimes you have also people talking about like technology or software. So it can be sometimes interesting.
Because there's this interesting moment in the album that could be understood sort of subversive to some people. I know that you have a lot of respect for all these musicians you interviewed, but...
Not always. Sometimes we're making fun of them.
Sorry?
Sometimes we are making fun of them.
Fun, because this was this moment. It's almost felt sort of cynical at moments. But let's say, I mean, some people could take it like some pretentious stuff. If Aphex Twin is talking about, I dream stuff about this and this, and next morning I put it on a computer, or Square Pusher saying he's the best musician and stuff like this. So, was this your intention to...
Well, emotions are very varied, in fact. So, and when we work with sound and voices, we have different views and opinions. You can feel quite close to the musician. Sometimes we use, for example, in the first long 20-minute piece, the voice of Steve Reich, which was saying quite nothing. That's why we mailed him, because it was really a bullshit interview. But, not interesting at all interview. And sometimes we have this guy Mixmaster Maurice, who was completely paranoid, so we used his voice, but he was really ridiculous. So
it was intentional to pick this more provocative part.
Yeah, yes, of course. There's truth in all these voices, even if people are paranoid or completely fascinating or poetic or whatever. So there's truth inside.
Yeah, this is also the work we have to do is to just not to put another interview on a record, because there is no,
right.
It makes no sense. It's it's to work with the material as voices and try to build something else with all these voices. It wasn't we didn't try to make people speaking about really what they said from the interview. It was more artistic, so we cut and make the choice about what we wanted to put in this all these pieces, but in an artistic way, not in as a journalist.
Yes, it was the last track, for example, which is composed of two interviews, and this is really like sound manipulation, because we took voices from one guy, from Paul, and the voice of a girl of Andrea Parker, and we edited the voices as if they were like ex-lovers. This is a kind of manipulations, but they were like talking about the new albums or their collaborations, and but there was interesting moments
to edit it in.
Yeah, so we are not really making fun of them, we're just using sometimes these emotions contained in the voice instead of talking about their latest album. It's like they were talking about their love story.
So you picked many interviews from electronic music producers. Do you feel that maybe they have the most interesting things to say?
They have interesting things to say. When interviewing a rock band is very boring, because you have like two, three or four people around you.
And it's mostly cliché questions.
Yeah, it's cliché, and you cannot have a personal conversation with four people trying to express something they do together. It's very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And the people from electronic music, they were quite... they have a very personal work. They work most of the time alone in their bedroom or their home studio. So... And there's always interesting stories to tell. And it's not only people making like dance music, they are like dance producers, but it's much more interesting than a pop star, because we really talk about something, I think, but maybe more personal. I guess we could do that with pop stars maybe, but...
Now that you're in a position of giving interviews, is it easier to, you know, to be asking questions or to be giving answers?
For me, I think it's more easier to work with voices from other people than talking about what I do. But...
Right.
So, especially in English.
I don't know. We do both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which is very difficult is posing for pictures. This is really tiring.
You do that a lot.
No, not a lot, but when we do very boring and very tiring. Because having a conversation, that's okay, that's nice.
Maybe if we say a few things on this thing, you're going to reinterpret Koeniskatsi.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a bit about this idea, this interpretation?
Because we work with so many sounds, movies, and voices from the movies, as we tell you, that at the end it was logical that we start making sounds on movies. So we started to think about that very long times ago, and since 2 or 3 years we are making cine mixes. So which is the remix of movies with sounds live during the projection in a cinema, festivals, and for Koyanis Katsi tomorrow it will be a little bit different that we used to do with other movies, because for this one we make a really techno-ish show, techno-ish mixes. Mm-hmm. So it's more clubby than what we do usually. Mm-hmm. Because the movies appeal this kind of way of mixing, you know, very very short extract and slow motion or speed motion and this kind of thing. So it's really like as a big video clip. Mm-hmm.
But it's not just like we didn't just put dance music on these images. Mm-hmm. We considered like. But we can appropriate ourselves to cinema. Like we've been living with movies, and it's a part of our culture, of our memory. So movies also belong to us. So as artists, we just want to make them more personal, maybe, and just like DJs. And
yeah, it's like composing a soundtrack, but with music from other people. It's always the same idea, always about mm-hmm. composing, but without making music by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Afex Twin once said that the point of doing a remix is to, you know, to do something better than the original. Yeah. So how does one remix Koyanis Katsi?
Yeah, for me, it's not too difficult.
Because I mean, this is considered to be a masterpiece, especially.
Yeah, but I don't like so much.
I'm not sure it's considered as a masterpiece. So it's a.
When the movie is a masterpiece, the soundtrack.
It's a well-known soundtrack from Philip Glass, yes, but I'm not sure it's his best
work.
Yeah, but it's not so important. In fact, the important is to make it a bit more personal, and I think all work of art can be remixed or reinterpreted in a better way or in a worse way. We will see, the people will judge, but that's very important for cinema. We watch so many movies, so many images, but we have to make them more personal. We cannot just be like viewers or spectators. That's very important for nowadays culture. Of course, after, the composer or the director can say, well, I prefer my version or this version. It's not so important. But now you must or you can consider all work of art as a kind of a work in progress, and you can propose or show people a new way of watching films or watching art pieces. Mm-hmm. It doesn't erase the older version, it's just a new interpretation. Mm-hmm. That's like when you do a cover of an old song, that's right. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. We kind of do covers of movies, or we give our personal view of these movies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we do that with a lot of very different movies, silent movies from the beginning of the 20th century, modern movies, experimental cinema, or this kind of musical cinema. Mm-hmm. And it's done in a very personal, very true, very honest way.
Yeah, no, the thing is we don't want to change the intention.
So the movie stays intact, you just change the music part?
Yeah, we don't touch the movie at all. Mm-hmm. We don't rebuild the movie, we don't edit the movie.
So maybe why did you pick this movie? What makes it relevant for you today?
We used to work with movie about hallucination, about you know, about these strange movies, of preferences for strange movies. But sometimes it's not strange at all when we work with Les Trois Âges.
With
Buster Keaton, it's funny movie, it's not so strange. Yeah. So we try to make something funny but with a Radio Mental touch, so that's it. And we choose movies we like,
What is the first Koenigskatsi that you like?
Yeah, because Koenigskatsi it's kind of a...
It's a classic.
It's a classic,
it's a cult movie. Because it's a cult movie, but young people don't really know. We are 40, so we know this movie. It's a very... It's a cult movie for many video jockeys and some video artists and even people in advertising. And it has a strong influence on graphic design culture and video clips, and so that's an important movie. So,
yeah.
But I think just we like the movie. After there's all the ecological and very human
discourse
about.
It's
about technology and humans. It's about this relation
about Earth and nature.
There's this sort of nostalgic moment about this movie, maybe, or at least about the way it was recorded. So is it, you know, are you interested in the form of the movie or art in general, or more in the substance?
For this one, it's the both, I think. It's the way the movie is done and the subject of the movie. Now, the preoccupation of the humanity now, so that's why perhaps we started to think about this movie, because at the beginning I wasn't so agree for making these movies. For me it was so
obvious.
Yeah.
So when I said to some people that you're going to reinterpret this Koenigskatsi, they said, we already saw this movie, so why do it again? Why not do something new? So what would you say to these people?
I guess we will see the movie in a new way. Okay, we have a different perception of different sequences of the people involved in the movie. It's a new perception, a bit like a remix, first thing. And the second thing, they will hear very interesting music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we succeeded in melting sound image in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
We make new connections between sound and images that maybe people want. New emotions are coming from this kind of interaction between sound and images.
Yeah, it's perhaps a better understanding about what is cinemix, is it like, and what is the power of sounds on the images, and with the music you can change all the movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what we want to do, but
mm-hmm.
you can do it. And
mm-hmm.
and for this one, of course, for the people who are in love with the original soundtrack, perhaps they will be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that for new generation, perhaps, or people who don't know the movies, or who are perhaps just more quite open, they will find it interesting that there is a relecture of this classic.
Dvojcem Radio Mental, ki danes večer ob 23:30 nastopi v Kinodvoru, se je pogovarjal Goran. Za tiste, ki vas zanima, kaj Jean-Yves in Erik pripravljata v prihodnosti, pa bo celotna verzija intervjuja objavljena na naši spletni strani. Intervju Radija Študent.